Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Well, they're not the flakes of dead skin cells fallen from Edward R. Murrow's brow.
Oh,
that's the ramble.
They were. Oh, yeah.
But they are the most emailed, viewed, and commented on stories on the web, a segment we like to call The Most.
Who's up first?
Then we got Trisha McKinney.
Trisha McSicky, get it right.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
I have the most emailed story on MSNBC.com. I'm going to try to motor through this.
All right.
It's about a new candy that Hershey's putting out. It's called Icebreakers Packs, and they're little tiny blue packets filled with white powdery mint. And I guess when you put them on your tongue, the pack dissolves, and then you get the mint. You get a burst of minty goodness. It actually sounds kind of good to me. But apparently some police are worried that these things resemble dime bags of cocaine. And so,
or as Matt Martinez would say, cocaine.
And so even though, you know, Hershey says in a statement that they're clearly labeled with product identification, ingredients, nutritional information, they're clearly branded, some cops who are quoted in this MSNBC piece say, you know, they're worried that maybe drug dealers could use them to disguise real dime bags of cocaine.
Come on.
And then it's going to maybe increase the amount of time they have to spend in the field testing. You know, any little packets they see, they're going to have to test them and see if they're actually candy or cocaine. And, you know,
someone's got to do it, I suppose.
Is it candy or nose candy?
There you go.
You've got to find
out. So, I don't know. I think that could actually be, you know, a pretty big use of their time and money and resources. So,
we'll see.
But, you know, Hershey's not responding to these articles other than to put a statement out saying they're clearly labeled, and they're not responding about whether they're going to change the packaging.
All right. Thank you so much, Trisha, for powering through that illness and all. Dan Pashman, have something from – where's
Dan.
This from?
I've got two for you. One is way up on the list on Google Trends. When I see the name Jennifer Flowers on Google Trends, certainly catches my eye. I didn't expect that to be trending anywhere so many years later. But
in 1992 call,
right,
once it's cultural reference back.
Exactly. People may remember that she is the woman who said she had a 12-year affair with Bill Clinton that came out while he was running for president. She has come out and said she might vote for Hillary. Yeah. She said she's always wanted to see a woman president. She said, I can't help but want to support my own gender, and she's as experienced as any of the others, except maybe Joe Biden. So there's that.
All right.
Then
what
we
else?
Got most emailed from Yahoo News. Now, one key to reducing greenhouse gas emissions may lie in the way kangaroos cut the cheese. Now, at least some Australian scientists think so. Now, as you guys may know, cattle and sheep flatulence is a pretty large factor in global warming.
It is actually, it sounds like a joke, but it is a surprisingly large.
Well, I have some facts, Luke.
Seriously?
To back that up.
Please.
It makes up 14% of emissions in Australia.
What?
All emissions. And in more agricultural places like New Zealand, it's close to 50%. And that's because when cattle and sheep poot, they emit methane, which is a greenhouse gas. But see, kangaroo air biscuits are different.
I want to hear. Hold on.
I'm going to ding this
every time you use a euphemism for that thing that we're not supposed to use because we used it yesterday.
So kangaroos have special bacteria in their stomach. So when they cut loose, they release no methane. So these Australian scientists, they're trying to transfer the kangaroo stomach bacteria to cattle and sheep. And if it works, the sound of a cow's colonic calliope.
I get six.
Would be music to Mother Earth's ears.
Okay, that was great. That was
class
really
it up a little bit, Rachel.
I'm totally
will you
gonna class this up with a little culture.
Thank you, Dan. That was wonderful.
A little highbrow.
Sure.
Come with me to the highbrow of French culture. Well, it's apparently not as highbrow as everyone thinks it is. Apparently, last week, Time veteran correspondent Don Morrison wrote an article about how French culture is on the decline. It's not nearly as interesting, provocative, groundbreaking as it used to be. French cinema, books, painting, and music have become something that is only, it's for the elites, it's not popular anymore. And this did not go down well in France, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Government officials, Ministry of Arts is like, what are you talking about? We don't care if it's popular. That's the whole tension, is that they claim that Americans have a different standard and that we're driven by capitalism and they don't really care if their art is popular.
Yeah, that is hitting the French where they live if you tell them that their culture is not what it once was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's asking for trouble, at least. And also a top emailed story, or I guess a most read story today on USAtoday.com is about five Pearl Harbor survivors who volunteer at the Pearl Harbor Memorial, today being the 66th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. It's kind of a sweet story talking about these guys who are sort of, you know, the really, there's not that many folks left who were actually there for this event because it, you know, was so long ago. But it kind of brought to mind for me a story that I did a couple years back. I actually went to Pearl Harbor. And I interviewed this guy named Ray Emery, and he is a Pearl Harbor survivor himself. And one day he went up to the cemetery where the Pearl Harbor dead are buried. It's called Punch Bowl. And he noticed that there were all these graves that just were unmarked. They didn't have a boat name on them. They certainly didn't have any people's names on them. And it got him furious. He felt like it was disrespectful to these guys who had died. And he realized that there was a way to actually identify some of these unidentified dead. It just involved this very complicated process of cross-referencing all this paperwork.
Wow.
Like the ship manifest and dental records. Anyway, so he's basically spent almost the last 20 years of his life for no money working all day long trying to identify these unidentified folks. Anyway, let's hear some of that story. Me and Ray Emery out in Punch Bowl National Cemetery.